This is When the Bird Chorus Runs Out of Breath, part of an archive broadcast, The Nature of Things, originally aired on September 6th, 1991.
There is a point, as August fades into September, when the fields and forests pause to catch their breath. Since early April, the robins have enlivened every sunrise with a choral measure of cheer. And since early May, the wood thrush has proclaimed the vespers against the deepening shadows in the valley of Baltimore Brook. In between, the red-eyed vireo has insinuated its monotonous lisp throughout the forest crown. Here and there, the bright, buzzy proclamations of that bird of fire and ashes, the scarlet tanager, or the rapid, sweet chant of rose-breasted grosbeak introduce a welcome relief from the vireo's incessant monologue. It's like a tapestry of fine lace with an artful and ever-changing pattern of bright embroidery to give it color. The language in the imagery here may seem a bit larger than life, but that's the way I see summer in central New York. Coming down to earth at such times, we may find the fields and forest floor alive with color too. This adds a visual treat to the aura of sound I've tried to describe. In June, the fallow fields are alive with calico hues. As I stand and slowly absorb the gay array, I am serenaded first by a meadowlark, which has turned its golden breast to the rising sun. Then over where the weedy calico field meets clover and alfalfa, a bobolink takes wing, his fluttering flight trailing a cascade of energetic song. Well, enough of this verbal tripping. Today, as I enter the woods, a lively chorus has stilled, and the only sound I can hear is a crow somewhere across the valley, protesting some intrusion on its domain or some interesting event it has discovered. You never know with crows. Verbal protest is their stock in trade. My intrusion has stirred up that other informant of the forest, bright cousin to the crow, the blue jay. He is soon joined by several other jays. For a moment, I'm the focus of an avian protest, a perchin, but their hearts really aren't in it, and they rapidly drift on to their way of thinking, I'm just a puny threat. Now I just catch the gentle murmur of Baltimore Brook far below the crowns of Maple Beach and Hemlock. Overhead, its sharp chink announces the presence of a tanager. I can't find it, but I wonder, is it a male now changing from bright summer to somber winter coat? That's a point, you see. As I stand and contemplate, it seems that all of the energy, both faunal and floral, have gone out of the rural countryside. Nothing could be further from the truth. All around us, in silent interworkings, a monumental energy exchange is taking place. The robin has deserted our dooryards for the shrubby copses and hedgerows, where nature has prepared a great buffet of cornel and hawthorn and nannyberry. The robin has no need anymore to squander energy on territorial proclamations. His privacy and his territorial landhold are no longer useful. The nesting season is over. The need now is to prepare for migration. If we watch carefully and make some simple counts, we'll soon know that the bulk of birds we are now observing have never made the trip before. Their response to this segue from summer into fall is instinctual, perhaps in part imitative. Who knows how important the example of their elders has become? At least we can see that somehow togetherness has become an important aspect of survival. Elsewhere, thrush, vireo, tanager, and grosbeak are similarly occupied. The trees are alive with a silent but fervent activity, all preparatory to an eventual oozing of bird life out of the northern forest and into the great tropical rainforest. As the season wears on, the gentle seepage quickens and the movement becomes a deluge. By now, some of you have realized that this is the same thing I said last week and the week before. I just cranked up the hyperbole and added some real sound. Well, you've caught me, but be assured this repetition is not idle happenstance. This is my 67th autumn, and I can assure you that times are a-changing. I don't like to contemplate a day when the summer vespers at Baltimore Brook will be proclaimed by an agitated crow. Well, that's all I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.